You're listening to Breakthrough Assembly Podcast. Here at Breakthrough, we don't judge, just build. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you hear from God and receive your breakthrough today. Enjoy the message.
Jump right into this bad boy, if you don't mind. And I want to talk today about something that we all deal with. We just don't recognize it. We don't talk about it enough, about them. And what I'm referring to are obstacles. I'm referring to obstacles, and sometimes we don't talk about obstacles enough, but we go through them. And sometimes we don't share how we overcame the obstacle. Sometimes we're stuck in something. And unfortunately, when the Bible says that pride goeth before the fall, sometimes we're caught and we're stuck in pride. And pride will keep you in bondage. Pride will also shut up your mouth. Because you're supposed to be able to call that thing as though it is. But if you don't call it as though it is, you're labeling what you see. You're supposed to speak the things as though it is. That's how you operate in faith. But if that thing can keep your lips shut, you can't call that thing as though and speak on it as though it is. You're speaking as what you see now. See, God says as how it is, but if we can lower that and speak it as what we see it, we limit the ability for faith to be activated in our life. And God does not want his children speaking the same vocabulary as other people. Oh, I want to talk to somebody today. I'm about to drop it and then leave. I'm going to drop it and I'm going to leave. Listen, I am. I'm dropping it and I'm gone. It's important to understand because I don't want to hold this. I want to drop it. I'm not trying to baby you. I'm not trying to make sure you stick out your arms. Come on, boo-boo. Put your hands out. No, I don't want any of that stuff. If you can't, if you got the alligator arms, I don't know what to tell you today. I need you to have full extension today. I need you to be in full receiving mode because God's not trying to give you a piece. He's trying to give you a load. He didn't serve up that blessing to give you a peace. And some of us are limited because of what we can handle. We can't take the load. We can only handle a piece. God doesn't want you to have a peace blessing. You're mixing up what he wants to give you. He wants to give you peace, but not give you a peace. And some of us, we're shortchanging our own lives because we can only handle a piece because we're holding all the baggage. And we can't get that loaded blessing that the Lord wants to give us. He wants to be able to change your vocabulary. I want to tell you right now, some of you that's listening to me right now, the reason you can't get what God wants you to have because you're not speaking the language that he wants you to speak. You're speaking the same. Let me tell you something right now. I'm clapping, Jesse. Lord have mercy. I know. Let me just explain it to you the way it's on the inside of me. If your people that you are around that don't go to church, that you keep hanging with, talking about you're doing ministry. You see how quiet it got? I'm in the room. I'm in the room because you have lied to yourself long enough that you now have become a pathological liar and you believe the lies that you're telling. Yeah, you shouldn't have wore sandals. I'm stepping all on them, on those toes today. You shouldn't have wore sandals. I know this is going to be 85 plus, but you shouldn't have wore sandals. You should have protected your own toes today. Got the bass player leaving. See, it's too hot in here. See, you have to understand if you're still saying that, if you're still hanging with the same people that have not made any change towards the Lord. and you're still hanging with them constantly, going with them, eating chicken wings, drinking your beer, said, I'm drinking this on behalf of ministry, so I'm still relatable. It's like nicotine. I got to put the patch on. I can't just do it. I can't just go cold turkey. So I have to continue what I'm doing with them so I can stay relatable. Show me where that is in the Bible. Well, y'all keep doing it. It must be in the Bible. Mr. and Mrs., I'm working for the Lord. And since I'm on the subject, if you're still hanging with them and you're still as relatable to them as you were when you got saved, then show me where Christ is. Because if I'm right, and I know I am, when Jesus decided that he was going to do all of the work that he was put on earth to do, and he took on all the sin, when he was just like everyone else, full of sin, I believe that his Father removed himself from him because he was full, like everyone else, of sin. And if we are with our people that we love so much and we lower our expectations of what God can do, and we really are too afraid to be identified as Christ. He lived on this earth for 33 years, not afraid to remove himself for the world so that he could identify for you. But yet and still, you won't remove yourself from the world to identify with him. He lived for 33 years to show there is a difference and there is another way. Now you're living all your life trying to blend it together, both lives, so it doesn't have to be another way. If we're still talking to the same people we talked to before we got saved, how has our vocabulary changed? If our vocabulary hasn't changed, why would theirs? If our actions haven't changed, why should theirs? So show me, then, why did Christ come onto this earth and literally die for our sins if we can stay in those same sins and not change them? What's the purpose of Christ? First of all, let me rewind it. We're still working on our sound effects during live service. Okay. If let's rewind that. Why did God send his word down on this earth to identify a difference of his word versus everybody else's word? What, let me break it down. Break it down. Thank you. It was stuck in my chest. I had to get it out. If what's the purpose of every other book? Oh, I'm going there today. What's the purpose of the Quran? What's the purpose of every... Oh, I'm going there today. If I'm not afraid of a devil, I'm certainly not afraid of you. What's the purpose of every other book? What's the purpose of everybody knocking on your door on Saturdays, walking up and down the street, trying to invite you in for their word? What's the purpose of me driving down Lee Road and I can't get to a stop sign before somebody trying to shove a bean pie in my car? What's the purpose of all of that if God himself sent his word to not only come to the earth, but to live in this earth and identify that's the word? Why do you think Jesus said, not there is a way? My Bible readers understand where I'm going. He didn't say there are ways. He says, I am the way. Not what you heard. All of y'all people that want to be so educated and you are told by your boy, your girl, you need to read this book. You need to read that book. No, I need to read the book. You're limited in your thinking. You don't understand the wisdom that I get from the book. He didn't say there are ways. I'm the way. I am the truth.
Yes.
Not, oh, I heard that. That sounds real good. Oh, man, that one got me thinking. You know how much stuff got me thinking and after I thought I got myself in trouble? You know how many thoughts that I thought about and I prepared for in those thoughts, playing in those thoughts? Some of those thoughts created children that I didn't know I was going to have. That thought created a child. I ain't had no business with that thought. So there are many thoughts, ma'am. There are many thoughts. Man, you need to read this. Why am I going to read that if you won't read this? Because if you read this with a true and pure heart, the Bible says seek and you shall find. If you're just seeking information, you're not seeking him. If you're just seeking this to prove a point, you're not seeking him. He says, I'm the way. I'm the truth. If you're seeking the truth, you will find Jesus, even if you stumble and fall face first. Are you seeking him? Or are you seeking information? Hallelujah. I'm the way. I'm the truth. And I am the life. You didn't have a life in its fullness. You won't have a life in its fullness without him. Period. You should read this. You should get out of my face. No, I'm not playing. You know, people have tried to force me to read a book that they thought was revolutionary when I've already gotten into the revolution. Hallelujah. Why are you still trying to conduct ministry in your own mind when you can't even be ministered to correctly any longer? Because of all of the fluff that's in your world. Hallelujah. It gets quiet whenever we hit the truth. You weren't ready for that. You came for entertainment. I keep trying to tell you I'm not an entertaining pastor. That's not. If you laugh, that was dessert. It wasn't intentional. My wife will tell you, I never come to her and say, listen, I got a good joke to tell for Sunday. Let me see if it's funny. My sister Tiny will never, I've never come to her and said, I got some material that I'm ready to display on Sunday. Will this get them?
Right.
This isn't entertainment. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Overcoming obstacles. We all have obstacles. But we don't talk about them. We hide them. We tuck them under the rug. And we wonder why we keep tripping. We're not honest with ourselves, so of course we're going to lie to other people. We need to understand, if you're going to overcome them, you can't overcome something you don't face.
Right about that. 100% true.
You can't overcome anything you won't face. And that's the secret ingredient of why we can't really be happy, because we won't face the truth. When Jesus says, the truth will make you free. The truth. The truth. The truth will make you free. We're afraid to say, I'm not happy. We're afraid to say, I'm not happy. Because if we say I'm not happy, now I got to really dig deeper and find out why. And if I have to really dig down now, I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to go through it again. Because we told ourselves, I'm never going to deal with that again. I'm never going to deal with that feeling again. Well, you're never going to get free. Because whom the Lord set free is But you have to let him in to get free. When's the last time you said, I love the Lord, but I'm messed up? I love the Lord, but I have major issues. See how quiet it gets? Because this is why, if we can stay that way, we can't be happy. Hallelujah. You know, I've been in prayer this last week, and there's so many different groups in the world now, the strong in their thought process. There's so many people. It's sad for me right now in the society that we live in, because there's so many angry groups. There's so many. I've never lived in my lifetime that the world that I live in is so angry. Everybody's angry. Everybody. Black, angry. White, angry. Asian, angry. This is why, for the first time, like I said before we voted, don't even talk to me about politics, because I'm not in any of the y'all groups. Because all of them angry. The Democrats angry, Republicans angry, Independents angry. Now there's other groups that wish they could be recognized as big as the Democrats, Independents, and Republicans, so they're angry that they can't be recognized as a. Everybody's angry. Everyone is angry about something. Christians angry. They're angry. Talking, you need to be saved. Well, I wouldn't be saved if why would I be saved if you keep yelling at me? So you got Christians angry. Then you got Christians angry about how other Christians are delivering the good news. So you got Christians angry, saying the other Christians are too soft. You don't talk about eternal damnation enough. You don't talk about the love of Christ enough. You got some people just talking full prosperity. The Lord, everything is good. People mad at them. Then you got people mad, you won't take a stand. You don't talk about anything. Then you got people mad, you talk about everything. You got others mad, y'all sing too much. You got other people mad, you're so deep in the world, nobody understands what you're saying. Overcoming obstacles. Everybody has obstacles. Everybody has obstacles. We're in a time that everybody is forcing everything down everybody's throat. And I'm just bothered by it at this point in my life. I'm really irritated with where we are. I'm irritated that everybody makes everything a political statement. Everything is political. Everything. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, which means there's nothing new going on now than it did when Jesus was walking with his robe and sandals. We just have more technology now. Amen. So I wanted to set the tone that if you would get out of your anger for a minute, you would be able to deal with your obstacle. But it's easier to just think about what you're upset about so you don't have to face your obstacle. Oh, you have an obstacle. We all have an obstacle or obstacles to overcome. And we will until the day that we die. But if we can stay busy or just stay angry, we don't have, and that coating of anger keeps us from addressing what we're covering. Amen. Because what happens if I'm not angry anymore? Then what do I do? What happens? Some of you used to be so angry about and judgmental. If I don't have anything to judge, what do I talk about? There's so many people that I care about that I've had to distance myself from because all they listen to are the political stations on TV. But the political stations are only going to talk about their political side. So depending on whatever one you like, that's what you're going to get. So how could you not be angry? Because that's all they're going to do is continue to make you angry. And my point to all of this, how can I be me with the love of Christ when you just want to tell me your angry point of view?
Where's the love?
Because how can I stay in a loving mode with all of your anger? By the time we finish lunch, I'm ready to fight myself. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so that's why there's no free lunch. They invite you, but by the time you leave, they've dumped whatever on you. So either if they wanted to talk about whatever, now you hate whoever they hated. Now you're mad at somebody. They didn't even do it to you, but you're angry that they did it. That lunch, it was no free lunch. It costs you something. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting this? This is why I'm at a point in my life. I don't even want to know your point of view. I just want to know the truth. And that's why I don't even talk to people anymore like I used to. I just want to hear from God. Are we understanding where we are? Overcoming obstacles. There are obstacles. There are obstacles. Now there is no obstacle that will come before you that you can't overcome. There's no obstacle that's going to come before you that you can't overcome. I want you to understand that. There is no obstacle that will come before you that you cannot overcome. Amen. I need you to understand that. I'm saying it again so you get that. There is no obstacle. There is no obstacle that will come upon you that you cannot overcome. None. Nothing. None. Nothing. Not one. Nothing. None. Name it. I got something for you. Bring it. I'm ready for you. What happens when cancer comes and it overtakes your body? Then if you are in God, you are released from the pain and you are now with the Lord. It didn't overcome you. You overcame it. If that's the same thing, then death overcame Jesus. No, Jesus surrendered unto the will of God. See, you're not ready for me. Jesus surrendered unto the will of God. So no matter what that thing was, even if somebody lost their life in that thing, they surrendered to the will of God. There is no obstacle that will come upon you that you cannot overcome. But you have to want to overcome it. It's easier to waddle in something than to overcome it. It's easier to say why you're in the position than to take a new position. There are people in here right now that God wants to reshift your position. But you can't reshift your position because you're too comfortable where you are. How do I get where God wants me to be? Reshift my position. But if I reshift my position, I can no longer sit with people that I enjoy sitting with. Oh. Pastor, I slipped. Are you still hanging with the same people you hung with that's helping you with that temptation? Because I found out something. It's hard to slip alone when you remove yourself from all the things that you slipped in. Pastor, I fail. Well, if you would have removed everything that caused you to slip, it's hard to fall when you've changed the ground you're walking on. But it's easier to say, I slipped. I understand. I'm not going to get any help this service. I get it. I can read the room. I know where I am because I'm talking to you. What happens when the excuse meets the truth? Excuse meet the truth. Because this excuse can't lie to the truth. Because the truth will always reveal the excuse. Hallelujah. Pastor, I'm not happy. My first question, why? Why? Well, here comes the excuses. Pastor, I had a hard day. So I went to the gas station, bought me a little drink, etc., etc. Excuse. Pastor, instead of Pastor, I had a hard day, so I called my accountable partner. And I told them I had urges. And they told me to come over where there were no ramps so I wouldn't slip. What I want to do today is to get you to shift your position and to get you prepared to understand until you move, it won't move. There are people that I love, but there are people that I love that know at times and seasons, they can call me all they want. I will not answer my phone. There are people who took it personal for many times that Pastor's not answering my phone. But I'm at a point in my life that I ask the Lord, should I answer? And he'll say, nope, and I don't answer. And there are people that I told them. They said, Pastor, I've called you for a week straight. You ain't answer. And I say, I know. Pastor, I left you 3 voice messages. I know. You didn't care to see what was going on? No. Why? God told me I didn't have to. Then I always do this. What was wrong? Well, you know, nothing really. Well, why are you concerned why I didn't answer? Overcoming obstacles. I used to be burdened down by people until I realized I kept allowing people to dump their trash onto my property. And I wonder why stuff was stinking when my kitchen was clean. And I found out it wasn't even my trash that was smelling up my property. It was other people that I allowed their mess to be dumped on my lawn. And I'm not even smelling. It's one thing when your stuff stinking, you did it. It's another thing when all your property is stinking and it's not even stuff you produced. I want to help you get free. My wife is starting to get there. She's starting to get free. She's starting. She's on her baby springboard. She's like, not ready to dive in yet, but she bends the board. Because I will cut it at the root. I will cut it at the root. I'm saying all of this because I want to free you up today. What I don't want to do is give you 13 Bible scriptures that you're not going to read, not going to write the note, and you're not going to change. So why do that? Because what I'm not going to do is feel the religiosity in you and make you feel like you got your quota of Bible scriptures. But if they're not, if you're too full of your thoughts and opinions to receive the power of that word anyway, what's the sense of giving them to you? You understand? Because those that are here, members, know half the time what's written is God's going to change it anyway by the time we get here. So why try to check it off? Why can't you overcome your obstacle? Why overcome an obstacle if I'm not going to change what got me into that obstacle in the first place? Are we getting this? Are you facing the truth? Are you facing your issues? Are you facing the things that keeps taking you there? Are you facing the, have you acknowledged you're not happy? Have you acknowledged who does not make you happy? Have you acknowledged who brings temptation to you? Have you acknowledged what brings temptation to you? Oh, God. Go to, go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. So, we're going to do a little reading in John chapter 16. We're going to start with verse 17. We're going to read all the way down to 33. So, we're going to be relatively quick in this. John 16, chapter 16, verse 17. Then some of his disciples among themselves said some of his disciples unto themselves, "What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father," they were, as I would use the word, tripping. This is Jesus talking about. Because see, sometimes Jesus, see, this is what I want you to understand. See, you think because you operate in flesh, we think because we operate in flesh that we're supposed to understand everything in the Bible the first time. That's your flesh talking. And that's your flesh talking because your flesh always agrees with the enemy. Your flesh says, if I don't understand it, there's something wrong with me. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Okay, number one, you need an interpreter. And number two, that's the Holy Spirit. And so you need that Holy Spirit on the inside of you, dwelling on the inside of you to interpret things that you can't understand. So number two, if you're still talking about, I'm not down with that Holy Spirit stuff, I saw somebody speaking in tongues and it freaked me out. Well, guess what? Well, you're walking around like a blind bird flying into the wall. I'll move on. They were tripping. Sometimes Jesus would say something to the disciples and they would have conversations among themselves. If you ever really read the Bible, sometimes the disciples, when Jesus would go to a tree somewhere, use the bathroom, and they would talk. Well, the Bible didn't say he was using the bathroom, but you know he had to use the bathroom. So in some of these conversations, I myself, like, he must have just took a bathroom break. And they were talking like, what is this Jesus talking about? What is this talking about? It's going to be a time you're going to see me, and it's time you won't see me because I got to go into my Father. Like, what is he talking about? How many times have you read something in the Bible and you're like, what in the world? This makes no sense. And so it's not just you. When the word says something, you're like, huh? And then you got to pull out another Bible, another version. And then you say, I'm just going to wait on the Holy Spirit to tell me. Okay. Y'all do what y'all want to do. But sometimes it's everybody is different. And from 16, I started out with four Bibles and I would just get every version. And then I would say, you mean to tell me that's what King James was saying? Why couldn't King James just say it? But then I understood, because I still always gravitate back to King James, because there's a certain knowledge you have to always seek in King James in order to get certain things. And sometimes we're not there yet, and we have to build the thing in order to go into that. But my point is that, you know how many times Jesus will say something to you and you're like, what in the world? Or he's saying something, you're like, okay, I don't get this. Or sometimes you'll write something down. Have you ever wrote a note down and then later on that note was illuminated? Yeah. You ever wrote a note and you didn't really understand what it was saying, and all of a sudden that thing makes perfect sense in a time, or God will have you to go to a note you wrote and you're like, oh my God, you mean to tell me that's what was going on? So I want you to know, it's just not you. Verse number 18, then they said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. These are the disciples. These are the ones that was with him all the time. And they're still saying, what is this brother talking about? It doesn't make sense. What is this little while? What is a little while? That's how, see, they were just as fleshly as we are. You know what they were really saying? Jesus, can you put a time on it? You know how we want to know everything? We want it date stamped. That it didn't happen then. That's what the Bible said. There's nothing new under the sun. It didn't happen then. Jesus didn't date stamp it then, and he's not date stamping it now. Because if he date stamps it, why would you need faith if you could just put a date on it? You could act like a fool until Thursday if you know that's when your blessing is. If you knew you were getting delivered Friday at 2:30, you'd act like a fool all week until Friday. You were playing what you're going to say to your boss. That's why he doesn't date stamp it. That's why he didn't date stamp it then. Because he wouldn't even date stamp it then. Said, you guys are too close to me. You still want a date stamp? That's what he says to us. You've been with me this long and you're still trying to get a date stamp? Why do you want everything to make sense to you? Why can't you just walk by faith in this thing without the full understanding? Jesus, think about it. I believe at times he purposely left to let them talk. Like he lets us talk. At times. We think he's not there. He is. Letting us have our Bible group. Well, it just doesn't make sense to me. My word to you is good. Because it shows the separation of us and him. If everything makes sense to you, I will bow down, God. Guess who I'm not bowing down to? You. Because everything you can't understand. Because only he understands everything. And that we have to know. You can still live and not understand everything. You can still be obedient and not know everything that's going to happen in this season. Right. Amen. Amen. Who in here right now have boots in your car, an umbrella in your car, a blanket in your car, shorts in your car, change of underwear, a pillow in your car right now, some ice cubes in your car, and a tea bag? I know you might have 80% of those things, Chelsea. But the point is, and that's somebody who's always prepared, but guess what? Nobody is prepared for everything. You know how none of us knows everything. So that's saying, just in case anything happens, I'm going to be prepared for everything. That's how we act. Like, I should have known that. How? I should have been prepared. We can't be prepared for everything always, is the example. I probably should have said raincoat and a bag of Halls. But you get the analogy. We won't know everything. We won't, no matter how much we love Jesus, no matter how much of this word we study, we won't know everything nor be prepared for everything, even when your heart bleeds Jesus. Are we getting this today?
Yeah.
And stop being disappointed in yourself when you didn't get everything right. You can't. You're not Jesus. I hope that lets somebody just breathe a little deeper. Thank God he grades on a curve. Hallelujah. He know what your intention was, good and or bad. I don't know where you stand. They were saying, we can't tell what he's saying. Those were the disciples. Guess what? Those were the hand-picked brothers. Still saying, we don't know what he's saying. They spent more time with him than anybody. They saw him do more miracles than anybody. They were up close and personal with him. And there were still times he said stuff and they said, what is he saying? He was the Word. He was the Holy Spirit. And yet, he knew that people as close to him wouldn't always get him. He knew it. He died knowing the people closest to him wouldn't always get him. I want that to sink in. He knew that some people were going to die in their own thought and they wouldn't change their thought and they love him and he graded you on a curve. Overcoming obstacles. He knew that there would be obstacles that we would deal with and face until the last breath that we would take. He knew it. He knew it. He knew it. So when are you going to let go and let God have full control of your life? Verse 19. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him. And he said unto them, see. I told you, even when him on his bathroom break, he knew they were desirous to ask him some things. He knew they had questions. They didn't say, Jesus, we have questions. They didn't ask him anything. They were asking each other. This is why I say, he'll let you have your little Bible group. He'll let you have your dialogue. But he knows everything. Are you getting this? Do you, he says, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while? See, he knew exactly what they were asking, and they didn't ask him. He says, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, but her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. He's saying as painful as a childbirth is, as soon as the baby comes out, she forgets all about the pain, and she immediately grabs onto the blessing that was produced. And I want you to understand, there's a lot of things that will be produced, blessings that will be produced, but you're going to have to go through some pain in order to produce those blessings. The problem that we have is we don't go through the pain to produce the blessing. Hallelujah. A woman knows you're going to lose some sleep because labor doesn't allow you to dictate the comfortability of the production. Are you getting this? Labor tells you when it's time. And sometimes there's a season that it's time for you to produce that thing, and God's not making sure you are the most comfortable when it's time to produce that thing. Oh, my God, I wish I had a witness in here. And each person has their own thing to produce. And see, sometimes you think you're being tormented, but really you're producing a blessing. You're just having to go through the pain to produce that thing. And most women, if you really ask them during labor, the last thing they're thinking about is the child. When they're in the hospital bed with their legs wide up and 20 people looking at all of their private parts, the woman isn't thinking about the child at that moment. She's thinking about the pain that she's enduring right now. And everybody has to tell her what to do, even though she went through training to do that thing. Everybody's telling her one thing to do. They're telling her to do what she's been trained to do. They're telling her, you got to push. And she's concentrating on the push to get the pain out while everybody around her knows that the end result is the blessing. So I'm asking you, are you pushing? I'm asking you, are you pushing? Because when the Bible talks about faith without works is dead, are you working through it so you can produce the blessing? Because it will tell you, if you don't push it out, you can kill it. And so many of us aren't receiving it because we're not pushing it. We're talking about the pain. Yes, we know there's pain there, but you got to push through the pain to produce the blessing that God has put on the inside of you. Can I tell you, it's a temporary pain. But so many of us, we keep leaving places that brought pain because we don't want to go through it, and that's why we feel like we don't produce anything. 22, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no more taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Here, hitherto, have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say unto you that I will pray the Father for you. See, stop right there. There's a time that God said that there's a time I'm going to be there and I'm going to hand it to you. There's going to be a time you're going to ask and I'm going to deliver it to you. There's going to be a time you're going to ask and you're going to receive it. But then there's also going to be a time you're going to ask and I'm not going to be there to give it unto you. I'm going to be with the Father to pray it into existence for you. When you are a newbie in Christ, Jesus is right there for you. I love watching new believers because Jesus do it so fast for a new believer. You ask, new believers always, that's why I like to walk with new believers and kind of follow them for about their first week of salvation because they kind of find $20. I know Chelsea is petty, but new believers, the Lord love them so much. They always say, oh my God, I found $20. I just want to be behind the new believer so if they don't look down, the pastor can get it. The point is what I'm saying is God is always doing something for a new believer to show them how much he loved them. And the one thing I love to be around a new believer because God will answer their prayer so quick. And if something wrong with me, I like to tell a new believer because God will, I tell new believers, I'm like, listen, your pastor had a migraine last Thursday. Keep your pastor in prayer. I got you, pastor. Listen, those new believers, he answers those prayers. Y'all seasoned ones that y'all stuck in y'all ways, I don't tell y'all nothing no more because he ain't listening to y'all. The point is, disclaimer, joke. Been in the game too long. Had to put those disclaimers. All right, next thing you know, y'all talk about the pastor said, Lord, don't even hear from us no more. What's gotten into him? Hither thereto you have asked nothing in my name, 24, and you shall receive that your joy may be full. 25, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but there's going to be a time that I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I will show you plainly the Father. I want you, I wish somebody would get that. That was a like in the spirit. I felt that thing. I don't know who it came from, but that was a spiritual There's some things I won't just talk, we won't just talk about it. I'm going to show you. And sometimes the only thing that was the difference between you getting it is you believing that you could have it. If you would ever believe you're not too old, if you'd ever believe he's not finished with you yet, if you'd ever believe you haven't sinned too much, if you would ever believe he could still do it through you. If you would ever believe, because I'm still breathing, it's not over. If you'd ever believe, this body may not need to be healed for me to continue to heal others. If you'd ever believe that nothing is impossible for them that love Christ. If you'd ever believe that obstacle can't overtake you, if you'd ever believe, but you have to drop every excuse of why you're not capable to still be used by God. I remember when I was a young pastor in this game, and I remember saying, I wanted God to send me drug dealers. And old, I'm going to use an old expression, ladies of the night. You got to be like over 40 to know that term. Old liars and every con artist. I wanted all of them. I wanted all of them. Why? Because I knew that if they ever would give themselves unto the Lord, He would be able to rock this world and save souls. Because those type of people, they're not timid. They don't care. They'll say what they need to say, and they will get in your face and live the life that they need to live. And I want you to know, God has given me all of the things that I asked for. He's given it. Whether or not you still want to admit it, God already told me your story. So ha. Yeah, you look all cute now in your expensive outfit and cute cologne, but oh, you have a story. And Pastor Bobby never prayed for Virgin Marys to come and join his church. I'm not looking for holy rollers in this church. I'm not looking for people who wake up and just float, you know, because they're so holy. They just, their feet don't touch the floor. They just float. You know, those people are unrelatable to the story, what this Bible talks about here. Because if you don't have an obstacle, I can't relate to you. You understand what I'm saying? If every time I ask you how you're doing, if you're still blessed and highly favored, and you haven't gone through nothing, I need some encouragement, man. Let me know I'm not in this thing by myself. Let me know that I'm not the only one that the devil is knocking on my door. Let me know that I'm not the only one having trouble sleeping sometimes because my flesh won't agree with all the lies that the enemy told me. Let me know that you have a hand that I can grab and we can extend and be in this thing together. Let me know that two or three that's gathered together in his name, that he can be in the. Let me know I'm not by myself. Let me know it's at least two or three other people that the devil lied to them and said they were a mistake and they could never. Let me know I'm not the only one. Let's get ready and finish this thing. 26, in that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say unto you that I will pray the Father for you. 27, for the Father himself loveth you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. Jesus didn't have to answer them, but he did. 29, his disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. See, they're saying, what they're saying is, they're saying, Lord, now you're just breaking it down to us. You're not speaking a proverb to us. And 30 says, now are we sure that thou knowest all things? See?
Wow.
That angers the flesh in me.
Me too.
But that's how we are.
Yeah.
This is what we do. Yeah. And you know how we always talk about the disciples until we become a disciple. I can't believe all the things they saw. And they still saying, now we know that Jesus is real. You just did it last week when he paid that bill. You didn't think it was going to be paid. And you were like, now I know. What do you mean, now I know? It says 30. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needeth not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou cameth forth from God. Jesus said unto them, do you now believe? He says, do you now believe? Now you believe? 32, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. You see? He says might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So this is what you need to know in overcoming your obstacle. If I could get you to understand, stop addressing it as how it looks. And address it as to how he wants it to be seen. This is why. How can you forsake the local assembly? This is why if you stay at home, you're going to always think it's just you. And when you come to the local assembly, you find out it's just not you. But you thought it was just you because you don't have any help when you're by yourself. Overcoming obstacles. Everyone has an obstacle. We all have it. Some of us won't act like it doesn't bother us. Because in all actuality, some of us have shut down. And we stop believing that things can change in our life. Where are my witnesses in here that through Christ all things are possible?
Amen.
Now, you don't sound like it. That was the driest. Ooh, amen. I mean, you guys act like we just did a couple laps around the building. Where are the ones in here that you didn't think Christ could love you, but he did?
Hallelujah!
Yes, Lord.
Where are the ones that you know you're not perfect? And Christ keeps loving on you anyway. Where are the ones that you was just judgmental before Sunday school? And yet God is still loving on you. I mean, where are the ones that came in here with some issues that you were holding on to before the first song of praise and worship? Are we getting what I'm saying? I want you to understand something. There won't be change until you want change. I need you to understand, we're in a season that you're only going to get it if you're willing to do everything it takes to get it. You have to be ready to face the giant. You can't overtake the giant until you face the giant. David couldn't strike Goliath if he wouldn't have faced him. He couldn't have hit him in the head, face forward, without facing the giant.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
We want to take a slingshot from our living room and sling it to our problem without addressing, trying to paint a picture for you, without addressing what the problem is. Overcoming obstacles. What is yours? Are you pushing? Are you pushing? Nobody's judging. Hear me. Nobody's judging. You can't judge a push. You can't judge a push. What do you mean? You can't be in the hospital room. And everybody says push, and you're pushing and squeezing, pushing as hard as you can, and the doctor say, well, I'm going to sit down until they start pushing. It may take multiple pushes, but you can't judge the push. A push is a push. I want you to get what I'm saying. Don't you judge your push or let somebody else judge your push and say they're not trying hard enough. Just keep pushing. I don't know one mother that said, I'm not going to deal with any pain. I'm going to strap up. I want you to get two straps, doctor. I want you to get my ankle, psh, get my ankle, psh. And I've been in training, and it's going to take one, and I'm going to get it out. I don't see one woman that said, ready, doc? He says, yep. And she said, hey! That was it. The point is, as silly as that seems, that's how we seem to act, as though we can just push one push and we should be done with the issue. How do we think it's that easy? How do we think just keep pushing? Just keep pushing. Overcome your obstacle in the manner you have to, but don't let judgment be on your obstacle and how you push that thing out. Are you getting what I'm saying? But if you're not pushing, you're sitting in your excuse. If you're not pushing, you're sitting in your excuse of why you can't produce what you're capable of producing. And everybody under the sound of my voice is capable of producing it because God put it in you. Because God put it in you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? One of the things, and then we're going to wrap this puppy up. We're in a season right now that God is looking for your best push. We're in a season right now. God's looking for your best push. So every time you push, he's requiring your best one. Not a half-cocked push. Not one just to say, I pushed. Are you understanding? In overcoming your obstacle, what are you doing to get to the next level? What are you doing to overcome it? What are you doing to say, I overcame that thing? Father, I thank you. I thank you for this day. Because this is the day that you've made. This day, this Sunday is the day that you've made. This Sunday is the day. Lord, I'm getting Thursday out of my way. Lord, I'm getting last week out of my way. Lord, I'm getting yesterday out of my way and out of my heart and out of my mind. Lord, I'm going to push again. Lord, I'm going to re-push. Lord, I've stopped pushing in this area. Lord, I gave up in this area. Lord, I really didn't think I was capable in this area. Lord, I judged myself and didn't think I was good enough in this area. I'm going to push again. But Lord, I don't want to push without you. Lord, I need your strength to help me push. I don't want to push in my own might in this thing.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you received something and that you're one step closer to your breakthrough. Do us a favor. If you enjoyed this message, be sure to share it with your family and friends. And if you're looking for a way to support the ministry, visit the link in this episode's description to see how you can give today.